Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Be seated. I got to tell you my story. A friend of mine, very wealthy friend, called me, says, you know, there's a doctor that lives next nearby you in Irving, Texas, who started preventative medicine, getting people, finding out about people's situation before they get messed up. He said, I'll pay for you to go there, you and your wife, if you'll go, you know. And I didn't have any heart attack that I knew of. I didn't know anything about that. I just had indigestion. Anybody got indigestion? Yes. So, well, I finally decided, you know, I'll take him up on his offer. So I went. Because he said to me, he said, look, if you go, my father-in-law will go. His father-in-law is Dr. Bob Rogers, and we're close friends. So I said, okay. So I went, and my wife and I went through this machine, and it had this little thing where lights went on if there was anything in your body that wasn't right. And he does the whole central part of your body, your stomach and kidneys, you know, everything. And so my wife went through, there was nothing wrong. She was in great shape. Hallelujah. And I went through, and when it got to the heart, they started making these lights. He said, I think you got something wrong with your heart. I said, well, he said, have you ever had a heart attack? I said, not that I know of. And so he said, well, we need more tests. So they put dye in me, you know, and they put me through a CAT scan. And sure enough, there were some problems there. And they said, well, you got to take one more test, an angiogram, where they stick a camera up your vein and put it into your heart, and you can see your heart pumping. And what had happened, my heart on the right side was completely blocked up. There was no blood in it. And the left side built a bridge all the way around the heart to go into the right side, built veins and the whole bit to keep me alive. But then the left side was 90% blocked. And so they said, you're going to have surgery right now. So they took me to the hospital, and next morning, I had surgery, quadruple bypass. Hallelujah. And I'm still alive today, and I want to say thank you for praying for me all that time. It's still recovering, but I had to do, you know, after a while, you just say, forget it. I'm going to go fly. I'm going to go preach. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I went to Korea. I was to the conference that I've never missed. And I was one of the main speakers there for the main conference. And my doctor flew in from Louisiana, said, I need to check you out. He's a spirit-filled surgeon who's also a preacher. In fact, he's speaking for me today in Dallas. And he said, I'm concerned about you getting on that plane. So he checked me out, and he said, you can go. And I said, hallelujah. So thank you, guys. And I went to Alaska, went to Maui, and I've come to you. And that's it. So hallelujah. I think you guys are great. And I deeply love your pastors. Oh, man. They've been a gift to Kings. Hey, well, stand to your feet. Let's get into the Word. I got a wonderful message for you. You came at the right time. Well, I'm glad you're so excited. Praise God. I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're going to be reading verses 23 through 30. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And so if you have that version, just read out loud with me if you don't mind. And let's read the word of the Lord together. Starting in verse 23. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them I will make them and the place all around my hill a blessing. Everybody say a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. Now everybody say the next phrase. There shall be showers of blessing. Say it again. What?
There shall be showers of blessing.
Anybody know a song that came from that phrase? Anybody know that song? Raise your hand if you know that song. What's wrong with you? When I was a kid, we sang it all the time. There shall be showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. You can imagine how this little verse caught my attention. How many wouldn't mind being under a shower of blessings? Amen. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield their increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hands of those who enslaved them. They no longer will be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them. But they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown. They shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. Everybody said, He's with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people. Everybody say, my people, says the Lord God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It brings life to all of us. And I'm asking you by the Holy Ghost to come upon us. Come on, people, pray in the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the living God, come in power, come in might. Refresh us tonight. Let us enter the shower of blessing tonight. I pray for an anointing on me, an anointing upon this great congregation. Give us ears to hear, a heart to respond, and eyes to see. And when we leave tonight, may we leave knowing we've heard from you and our lives are changed. And I thank you for it and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When you read the Old Testament, you are keenly aware that there are curses and blessings. They're real things. They really are. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 and 28, it says, Behold, I have set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. In fact, the reality of curses and blessings is so pronounced in the Old Testament that when the children of Israel were going into Canaan's land, Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, this is what you're going to do. When you cross the Jordan, I want you to be certain that when you get to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, that you do an illustrated sermon. He didn't say it. That's my interpretation. He says, what I want you to do is on Mount Ebal, build an altar. And then coat it with a kind of a cement situation and write on it all the commandments of the Lord. Then I want you to build that altar and sacrifice on that altar burnt offerings and peace offerings. And then I want you to take half of the Levites, or the priests and Levites, and half of them stay on Mount Ebal, the other half on Mount Gerizim, and from Mount Ebal, I want you to take half of the population of Israel, have them stand there, and then do the same for Mount Gerizim. And then from Mount Ebal, I want you to curse the people and declare the curses. And from Mount Gerizim, I want you to declare the blessings. Now you say, well, wait a minute, hold it, stop for a moment. Why in the world would you start cursing from Mount Ebal? That's where the sacrifice was made. That's where the altar was. It's because the sin that needed forgiveness, if it's not forgiven, if there's not redemption, curses come upon the people and the land. It was God's way of sharing with them the reality that there is a way for forgiveness. There is a way for life. There is a way for the blessing of God. So you can imagine the impact that made on the Israelites. Am I going to be cursed or am I going to be blessed? They needed to see that. And for that generation, because I think of that illustrated sermon, they served the Lord. That's why Joshua at the end of his life said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." Now you'll notice when you read these passages, for example, in Deuteronomy 27, the curses that are spoken on Mount Ebal are mentioned there, and they're listed. And in Deuteronomy 28, the effects of the curses are even expanded in there in Deuteronomy 28. And I'm not going to preach on curses tonight. I can, and I have, and I've broken off curses off of people. We'll do some of that tonight, but that's not why I'm here. You'll notice in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, that it says, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days." Now think about it just for a moment. Curses are real. Blessings are real. The curse, the book of Proverbs says in 3:33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the house of the just. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk not on curses tonight. I'm going to talk on blessings. Aren't you glad that I'm going to talk on blessings? How many wouldn't mind being under the shower of blessing? Wave at me, wave at me. That's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want you to take a look at some things here, because when you look at the text, and everybody understands something. The Bible tells you how to live. So oftentimes we don't let the text speak for itself. But when you look at the text, you forget sometimes the fact that the text is going to instruct you on things that you need to be doing in order to have the blessing of God. And secondly, when you read the Old Testament, we must be aware of what's happening historically so we get a clear picture of what this text is all about. You don't need my opinion. You need the words of God echoing in your mind and brain. So take a look at what's happening here in the book of Ezekiel. How many have ever read the book of Ezekiel? All right, three of you. Way to go, praise. Five, six, seven, eight, good. Well, let me just kind of share a little bit historically on the book of Ezekiel. Because when you read the book of Ezekiel, it's important to know when and where these prophecies take place. Ezekiel was born in 622 BC. It was during the time when King Josiah reigned. Remember, King Josiah was the last monarch in Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been destroyed long before. And Josiah was God's last hope for judgment to be delayed. Everybody got that? Sometimes God will raise up a leader for one purpose, to delay judgment. A nation is going down the tubes. He'll raise up somebody so the judgment is delayed. If that person isn't raised up, judgment comes. Well, what happened with Josiah? The father before him was a jerk, a horrible jerk, messed up the entire nation, served Baal, shut down the temple, destroyed it, did all kinds of horrible things. And so Josiah became king. The first thing he began to do was to clean out the temple, and a copy of the law was found. And this copy of the law was given to King Josiah, and so impacted him because he knew they were breaking God's law and God's judgment was going to fall on them. So he rips his clothes, puts ashes on him, begins to fast. And one of the things that Josiah did, he'd already begun a revival that was happening throughout Judah. Now, one of the things that took place, Ezekiel was born when that book of the law was found. So you can understand that he was nurtured during a time of great revival, the final revival of Israel before it was destroyed. And you'll notice that what took place is that Jeremiah was prophesying at this same time. So you had Ezekiel growing up under the prophetic anointing of Jeremiah. He was fully aware of Jeremiah. And then you also have to understand that Josiah dies prematurely. He gets caught in war where he was probably didn't get the word of the Lord. He probably just out of his alliance with Babylon decided to go ahead and attack the Egyptians who were coming upon him. And he should have just been much more sensitive about that. Well, of course, we can always be the quarterback while we're watching the game played, you know. So we don't know all the details. But he dies. He dies in that war as a young man. And it's that moment that all of a sudden the judgment now is about to come upon Judah. There's no way that the next few kings had any spiritual life that would allow them to postpone the judgment. So the judgment that God had said is now coming on. And the judgment is in the heart of God, but he uses people. Keep in mind, God can even use pagan people to fulfill his will. You know that, don't you? And there was a king in Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He was building his empire, and he had now come into what we know today as Palestine, and then it was called Judea. And he attacks Jerusalem. Now, the king on the throne at that time makes an arrangement with him. He yields to Nebuchadnezzar. And so at that time, Nebuchadnezzar takes some of the royal family back to Babylon. And he takes with him four people that you're familiar with. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all came in that first deportation of Jews to Babylon. Well, you thought that'd be all over, but what happens then is that another goofy king thinks he has the power to fight Nebuchadnezzar. And what was going on there? You had false prophets that were constantly saying, you got to read Jeremiah. Jeremiah goes, "Hey guys, you're insane. It's not working. God's judgment's No. They keep saying, "We've got the temple and God's presence is in the temple and nobody can take us over." They didn't even know God wasn't there anymore. Reminds me of some churches. They go through all the rituals, but God's not there. So Nebuchadnezzar comes back. And when he comes back, he takes the king and his whole family and a number of significant people, fighting men and all of that. And literally what takes place is that when he came back the second time, he comes back and he takes all the craftsmen and he takes all the leaders and those kinds of things. And in that second deportation is when Ezekiel, he was a priest, a priest being trained for the priesthood. He's taken at that time. And then Nebuchadnezzar comes back again. Oh, my. And when he comes back again, he takes 10,000 people with him back. Now, finally what happens is Nebuchadnezzar destroys Jerusalem. And he takes the folk with him. And that happened in 587 B.C. Now, this word that Ezekiel shares, he shares in Babylon, and he shares it at the moment of Judah's darkest day. The temple is destroyed, the city is destroyed, and people are now being deported to Babylon. I want you to think about something. I don't care what you're going through. There's always a word of hope that God will bring. Amen. Listen to what Ezekiel said. And if I'd been Ezekiel, I'd say, it serves you guys right. Because Ezekiel kept telling them, the false prophets in Israel and Judah are going to get you in trouble. But they wouldn't listen. So now these people have all been deported to Babylon. Judah's over. The only people left are those that just were the very, very poor. And God gives a word. God gives a word. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. And that whole word that I read, it is absolutely amazing. And he tells him, God's going to give you showers of blessing. Sometimes because we're so broken, we can't hear it. Even this morning as I was praying for somebody, he was so bound that he couldn't hear. He couldn't understand the reality of how much God wanted to bless him. There are people sitting in this room. You have no idea the goodness of God. You interpret your whole life by the things that happened in your life that weren't good. And how could a good God allow that? Listen, we live in a fallen world. And we're fallen. And we do stupid things. Well, I better change it. I do stupid things. There's decisions we make that are off the wall. Then we blame God for the problem. Well, why can't God fix it? Well, he can. Except the problem is he gave you free will. He could have made you a robot, but he didn't. He gave you free will. You're a person made in the image of God. So you can choose to either do what's right or not right. And so oftentimes we allow our fallen human nature to lead us rather than the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why I cling to that passage that Paul writes. That we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I cling to it. I pray it every day. Lord, help me to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because my fallenness is in here. But I'm not alone. Because God planted in me His Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost. If I allow the Holy Ghost to be free to operate in my life, we'll take care of that fallen human nature. My problem is, there's things about that fallen human nature that I think I like. I know you're much more holier than me. But we yield to it. We yield to the pride. I'm the greatest. We yield to the selfishness. That's mine. You know, can you imagine children have more sense than adults. If a child takes something from another child, that child gets angry and says, that's wrong. You can't steal. They know instinctively that's wrong. We as adults, we do things like this. We're at the job and, oh, we're just going to borrow. We'll borrow the money we just saw on the table. We'll pay it back. We'll borrow it. Never gets paid back. We just stole. We use the job's stamps to do our mailing. And we said, well, it's okay. They're not going to use it, so I might as well. You just stole. You slander people. Well, I was just telling people about what I know. But what if what you know is wrong? And we all yield to this stuff. So we're all potentially can be under a curse just by the fact that we're breathing. But hallelujah, there's another work happening in us. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why you're here tonight. You didn't come to see a movie. You came to come under the Word of God that will change your life and experience His power. So we take a look at this passage of Scripture, and to me the most shocking thing when I read this passage was something you probably would have missed it. But let me share it with you. Take a look just for a moment at verse 27. There's a phrase that's very important in the book of Ezekiel. It says, then they shall be safe in the land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Everybody say that. They shall know that I am the Lord. Everybody say it. They shall know that. Did you know that's the 45th time in the book of Ezekiel that Ezekiel says that? And he goes on to say it for over 60 times. This is the first time, as far as I can tell. All the rest of them were all about judgment. The judgment would come so that somebody would know that I'm the Lord. Listen to me. God loves people. But some people are so hard-headed that the only way God can get their attention is by letting them bear the fruit of their stupidity. I've had people come to me and say, you know, my son's not serving Jesus. Would you pray? I said, are you sure you want me to pray? Yes, Pastor, please pray for him. I said, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that all the props that's holding him up will be taken away from him. I'm going to pray that the judgment of God will come on him and he'll turn to Christ. Like the prodigal son who found himself in a pig pen. He's a Jew in a pig pen, eating the husk that the pigs ate. And he turned back to his father. Judge, you just read the book of Ezekiel. 45 times. This is the 45th time. Nearly all of them. That God would bring judgment that they know that I am the Lord. This is the time when he brings blessing that they may know that I am the Lord. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Somebody ought to say praise God. He wants you to know by his blessing that he's the Lord. And you'll notice when you read the text that we get a clear picture of what blessing is. But how the blessing will come is what he shares as well. And he shares about it. It's fascinating. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to bless me. No. Do it this way. God wants to bless you. Some of you didn't say it very well, so try one more time. You're not convinced. So turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to bless you. Now, here's what's absolutely amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Listen to what he says. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. David had been dead for a long time. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. Take a look at verse 30. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. Think about this for a moment. In fact, it fits right in the Christmas story. Emmanuel, God with us. He's talking about a shepherd. A shepherd who's fully human, out of the lineage of David, and yet fully God, who will be with them. There's only one that fits that category. Anybody know his name?
Jesus.
Anybody know his name?
Jesus.
Then he goes on to say, now this is really great. I can't take it. The shepherd will make a new covenant. Look at how he says this. In verse 25, I will make a covenant of peace with them. And he says, I'm going to make a new covenant. It's a covenant of shalom. Do you know what shalom means in Hebrew? It doesn't mean just simply a cessation of war. It means the blessing of God in every part of your life. Every part of your life. So this individual that comes into the world, that's fully man, fully God, has come to make covenant with people that they might experience the peace of God. Whew. That they may experience the blessing of God. Are you still with me here? And there's one little thing that really got me. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I love the word. How many have ever read the Christmas stories in the Gospels? Let me see your hand. They're found in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. Some talk about the shepherds. Matthew talks about the wise men that came. Mark doesn't even mention the Christmas story. But and even in Luke and Matthew, you'll notice after Jesus was baptized, they tell about the temptation of Jesus. Mark only mentions that he went into the wilderness and was with the wild beasts and angels ministered to him. And you look at that and you go, that's weird. Ah. Look at what Ezekiel said. I mean, this boy's writing a long time before Jesus. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they'll dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. It's almost as though Mark goes, oh, Ezekiel prophesied this, so I better put it in the gospel story. He's saying Jesus had power over the wild beasts. We've all got wild beasts trying to eat us alive. They're called demons. And God has given us authority over them. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, I love this stuff. The only problem is I go on all day and all night, and you guys got to go home, I know. Jesus triumphed over Satan in the wilderness. And because of that triumph, he promises showers of blessing. Amen. Oh, Jesus. You say, Pastor, what is the showers of blessing? Well, there in Deuteronomy, it talks a lot about the blessings of God. You might want to look that up. But here you'll notice a number of things. Let me just throw them out to you. Would you see this if you're taking notes? The first thing is fruitfulness and increase. How many want to be fruitful?
Amen.
I've asked God, I said, God, because some people have said, Pastor, why are you still preaching? You're 75. I said, as long as God's giving me breath, I'm going to try to keep doing something. And he extended my life. I want to be fruitful. I don't want to just sit around and just retire and get fatter than I am and just hang out. What good is that? I stand before the Lord and say, well, the last 20 years of my life, I just hung out because I retired and everybody else was retired. Are you kidding me? If you're breathing, are we all breathing here? If you're breathing, you can do something for the Lord. And the blessing of God is fruitfulness. People have said, you mean the blessing of God? Yes, the blessing of God is more work. Oh, get excited. I've had people say, Pastor, I can't do this anymore. They leave my office doing twice as much as they want to be doing. And the reason is because the blessing of God is fruitfulness. How many wouldn't mind increase in your finances? That's part of the blessing of God. How many wouldn't mind fruitfulness in the activities you do? And fruitfulness in your family, where you have love and respect for each other and God's blessing is on you. All of that is a promise of the showers of blessing. I've been married 53 years to a wonderful lady. She's put up with me for 53 years. It's a miracle. The second thing you notice is safety. And no one will make you afraid. Did you know fear is the means by which the enemy controls you? If you've ever tried to cast demons out, you'll notice something. Demons are like skunks. What happens when you try to approach a skunk, their protective mechanism is to squirt out of their body this horrible aroma. And if you've ever driven over one, you'll have that smell on your car for quite some time. I'm thankful there are no skunks in Hawaii. But they are in Texas where I'm at. In fact, I saw one the other day in my neighborhood. Can you believe that? What's he doing in my neighborhood? So what they'll shoot out is fear. If, you know, sometimes we forget this. We get into a situation where it just seems like it's absolutely hopeless, and we begin to start to fear. I'll never forget, I was going through a hard time in college. I don't know what it was. Something was happening. And I had this friend who was with me that day, and he said, and I began telling him about it. He said, oh, praise God, you're going through that. I said, what? He said, you wouldn't be even going through that unless God had a big blessing for you. Shouted, praise God. Sometimes, you see, if the enemy can get you into a place of fear, you lose out with your faith. Thirdly, freedom. Freedom from bondage and from the control of those who enslave them. There's a lot of people enslaved today. It may be enslaved to a habit. It may be enslaved to a toxic relationship. It may be enslaved in your mind. You've filled your mind with horrible evil that defiles you. The one who has come as fully God and fully man has come to bring peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. He's come to set us free. Years ago, my wife started a ministry called Transformation. Most amazing thing to me, you know, I know my wife. And one day she said to me, honey, God spoke to me. I said, what'd he say? He said, I'm supposed to start a ministry for drug addicts and alcoholics and people that are bound. I said, you've never had drugs or alcohol. You don't know anything about it. How are you going to do that? She said, I don't know. God will speak to me. I was skeptical, the great man of faith I am. Anyway, she comes back and said, God spoke to me. I said, what'd he say? He said, there's people in our church in Maui that have been in jail, they've been bound, but God set them free. They're going to help me. And we're going to start this ministry. And sure enough, she was sitting on the front row. Just as Justin, is that right? Was sitting on the front row. And a young man in our church came to put an offering in the daily seed box. And his name was Daniel. And Daniel, we would see him, we'd see him for a while, and then we wouldn't see him for a while. Anyways, he came up, and the Holy Spirit said, pick him. So she brought him over, whispered in his ear, I'm going to start a ministry for people with drug problems and alcoholic problems. Would you help me? He said, yes. She didn't know it, but he was an alcoholic. He'd been a drug dealer. He'd been thrown in prison, all the above. And the reason he hadn't come to church at times is because he was on a drunk. Well, he showed up. And the moment he started serving, God delivered him.
Amen.
Today, he leads one of our extensions, and he's leading our whole prison ministry. He has become the chaplain of the prison on Maui. And hundreds of people are getting saved. Whole families. People in prison are getting saved, telling their family on Molokai that they got saved. When they get out, they bring their whole family to our church on Molokai. I mean, it's happening all over. Now he's going to other prisons. He was just last week in Houston to the huge prison there. And he'll be going to Arizona, where nearly 1,000 prisoners from Hawaii are locked up. Tremendous. And then every Monday night, the place is full. It's a huge church. And now we have transformation all over Kings. A little lady who just simply said, I'll obey God. She had an instinctive understanding that God wanted to set people free. Everybody say freedom. Freedom in every area of your life. The fourth aspect of blessing is elevation. Oh, everybody say elevation.
Elevation.
Raise up for them a garden of renown. God has no problem elevating you. He can elevate you on your job. So oftentimes we only see ourselves this way, but God sees us in the potential of what we can do. Elevation. I've seen people that started their job at the very bottom today. They're running businesses. I was reminding myself of my trips to Korea. The largest church in the world. 1 million people in the church. It's really way more than that because he started extensions all over the world. He had 800,000 just in Seoul. But he's already opened up many churches. He's gone home to be with the Lord, Dr. Cho. But I remember one of the times I went, he had this banquet for his businessmen. You couldn't get into the businessmen's organization unless you were a multimillionaire. The place was huge. And he'd tell stories of a fella that sold salt on the streets of Seoul. Came to the Lord. Now he owns the salt company. Over and over and over again. Don't give me this nonsense. Well, I just don't think God can do anything for me. I won't slap you. God can do more than you know. Your problem is you don't know the same God I know. He can elevate you if you love him and serve him. That's a part of the showers of blessing. No more lack. Look at this. No more lack. All right. I'm glad you're so excited about that. Listen to what he says. No more lack. You'll not be hungry. Listen, I've lived in Calcutta, India. Probably one of the worst places in the world. I saw people starving to death on the streets. As a boy, I'd go to the train station to get on a train to go 1,000 miles away from my parents to go to school. I was 6 years old. to get on that train, I had to walk among people you didn't know if they were dead or alive. That's why I eat everything on my plate. And it shows. But when you see starving people, it does something to you. That could have been America. That could have been America. The only difference was our founding fathers founded this nation on biblical truth. But when we go away from that biblical truth, there's no more protection. But if we'll stay true to the Lord, He promises a shower of blessing. No lack. God has blessed me huge, beyond anything I've ever deserved. All I found out about God was that I can never outgive Him. Some of you hold on to your pennies when God wants to give you $1,000. And you're holding on to pennies. Afraid to give. The God who made the universe and sustains it and created all that there is. You don't think God can take care of you? And He also says, you no longer will be ashamed. You no longer will be ashamed. Wow. No longer be ashamed. I don't know what may have happened to you in your life. I've dealt with people for over 50 years in ministry. I've counseled dozens and dozens. That's what I used to do in the early part of my ministry. My doctorate was in counseling. And people that have been abused, people that have been hurt, people that have been put down, rejected, they have this horrible shame. But when you come to Christ, oh my, 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 help me, Jesus. He says here, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. He can take away the shame and put in you a confidence in the Lord. Not in yourself, but in the Lord. And not only that, but God will be with us. His presence with us. You got to just forgive me here. I can't handle this. The fact that the God who made all things said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. I come to church so I can be a part of the two or three. I'm glad there's more than two or three here. But God gave me a promise. He's going to be with me. In the good times and in the bad times. I'll never forget. I was under the burden financially of this ministry. Huge. So huge I can't even tell you how big it was. And it took me to my knees and I was broken. And I said, God, I can't do this. He was very stern with me. He said, get up! I stood. He said, now get in your car. He said, I want you to go over to the skating rink. That was the first big building we bought on Maui. It was impossible to get it. We got it. I went over there. I walked around it. I said, oh God, forgive me. You did this. And then he said, go over to the chapel. It was a little building that I came to. It held 150 people. But the first Sunday that I was the pastor, it doubled, and we had to knock down all the walls. And then we rebuilt it, and I had no money to rebuild it. And God built that thing. Then he said, go over to the cathedral. And I drove over to the cathedral, and there stands the largest church building in the state of Hawaii, in the most prestigious corner of the entire island. You have to drive by it no matter where you go. He said, did I do this for you? Now, all of a sudden, what happened? That burden began to lift because I realized I should be praising him for what he's already done instead of being so concerned about what I feel at the moment. I think that'd be a good time to say praise the Lord. I think it would be a good time to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's with us.
Amen.
I could tell you story after story after story. But finally, we will be his people. We get to be a part of his family. We get to be a part of the generational blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here's what I've discovered. That generational blessing is real. Do you know why I'm so blessed today? I get the chance to come to West Virginia and holler at you. It's because when I was born into a family of a mom and dad who loved God so much that they were willing to give up everything to go to Calcutta, India, where I was born. There was never too hard of a place for them to go to preach the gospel. As long as they knew God was in it, they would go. And I saw them go through many difficult things. And one of the times where Dad was ministering, he was almost assassinated. And my mom was attacked because they were in a situation, a church, that God said, you go and pastor that. And it was a very evil situation. They continued on. The blessing on my life has little to do with me, other than I'm serving the Lord. Has everything to do with generational blessing that's being passed down from my parents to me. My job is to live such a way that there'll be generational blessing on my children and on my grandchildren. And I got one great grandchild now. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to live for God so that that generational blessing will be on them. I never asked them to be in the ministry. They're all in the ministry today. All three of my children and the seven grandchildren I have, they're all serving. That's a generational blessing. Not a rebellion thing. Well, yeah, I don't like the ministry. I never asked them. God got a hold of them and said, you help your dad. So one by one they came and said, God told us to help you. I said, well, great. What do you want to do? Today, Josh has taken over as president of this organization. I'm still the boss. I'm the global senior pastor and the CEO, but he's doing a great job for God. My daughter, Janelle, is over all the international, Dr. Janelle. And she pastors a church in Springfield, Missouri. And she's an official in the Hawaii District, the Assemblies of God. She's the secretary. Huge job. And then my daughter, Jamie, and her husband pastor our church in Branson. They're all blessed. I remember praying for them about a year and a half ago. I said, God, I want all of them to have their own homes. They all have their own homes. Through the help of their daddy. And they said, Dad, we want a good interest rate. I said, what do you want? 2%. I said, what? So they all got their homes at 2%. There is such a thing as generational blessing. You say, well, I'm from a toxic family. Okay. Break off the curses of that toxic family and get under the showers of blessing and start being a person that God can bless and bless through you for another whole generation. Well, I'm done. It's been a long day. I preached my brains out over there. Makana, did I preach my brains out over there? Over there at Brother Jonathan Shuttlesworth's church. Yes, if I would come. One of the neat things is God is so good that he wants you to enjoy your life. 1 Timothy 6:17, God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You can't outgive him. You can't outserve him. You can't outdo anything that God does. But he waits on you. You determine the blessing of God on your life. My prayer tonight is that you'll get under the showers of blessing. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commands. Tonight, I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right? Well, forget it. I won't then. Stand to your feet. I want to pray for those who have gone through situations where the enemy has really, you felt like you were in a battle. Some of you came out of lifestyles that were very difficult or families that were very toxic. And sometimes you even feel the pain of that even now, even though you love the Lord. I just want to have a word of prayer for you, and we're going to try to break off any particular curses that may be. Now you say, Pastor, how do we do that? Well, you bring your life before the Lord. Here's what I found. I don't know me. In fact, I get it's silly for people to say, oh, I'm looking for me. I want to find me. Forget it. You're a sewer. It isn't going to work. You don't look within to find yourself. You look to him and you let him speak to you about areas of your life that he says you need to change. And when you do that, he begins to bring his peace to those areas of your life. Are you hearing me tonight? You say, well, I felt rejection when I was young. Listen. Jesus was rejected from the very people that he came to save. He knows your rejection. He knows your pain. He knows all of it. And if there's anyone who can heal you, it's him. So here's what we're going to do. If you're struggling with anything that you'd like prayer for, just step out and come stand here quickly. And I'm not going to do anything other than to pray a prayer. And I'm going to believe that God is going to break things off from you. Is that all right? Now, I'm not preaching on curses. If I preach on curses, I'd lay hands on all of you and I'd cast the devil out of you. But I ain't doing that tonight. I'm here to bless you. And in a moment, we're going to pray for the showers of blessing. Is that all right? But let's get rid of some things here. First thing, if you don't know the Lord, why don't you know him? Well, you know, I just don't know if he's real. Oh, give me a break. Listen, I was in graduate school at USC getting a master's degree in ancient history. The most verifiable historical fact is that Jesus lived. And even in the Jewish Talmuds, those are the interpretations of Scripture. The Babylonian Talmud, Talmud that was written. These are oral laws that were put in writing after the fall of Jerusalem. The Jerusalem Talmud. They all talk about Jesus. And they don't deny that he did miracles, and they don't deny he claimed to be the Messiah. They don't deny any of that. They say that's who he is. You have Josephus talking about him, and even some Roman historians, Suetonius and Tacitus, mention him. How stupid can you be and still breathe? He's real. He lived, died, rose again, and the eyewitnesses of it is huge. So much so that one of the greatest historical facts, and that's my world, is history, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no other explanation. Why wouldn't you let him touch your life? With every head bowed, everyone praying, I want you to pray a prayer with me. Everybody, lift your hands right now. Lift your hands right now. Pray this prayer. Mean it with your heart. Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I repent of every activity that did not please you. Take out of my life foolish pride. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight to be the Lord of my life. I choose you, Jesus.
I choose you, Jesus.
Be my King.
Be my King.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
From this day on.
From this day on.
I believe.
I believe.
You have blessings for me. Now I'm going to continue to pray. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray one prayer for you. Shaba ete la rama pakote. Ete la rama pati. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I lay hands on each one of these, I pray for your peace to come upon them. Shabbat, your healing power to come on them. Shabbat, oh God, free them from every bondage, every evil thing the enemy's tried to control them with. I break it off now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I declare that every attempt of the devil to bind them is broken off. Every curse broken off in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. Now everybody come up here. Everybody come. Cindy. You know that song, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing?
No, I don't. Don't slap me.
I won't slap you. There shall be showers of blessing sent from the Savior above. There will be healing, refreshing, whatever. It's been a long time. Let's sing the chorus. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Sing the chorus again. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Now that's going to be in your head for a whole week. Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Lift your hands with me. Say it with me, Lord.
I choose.
I choose to be in relationship with you.
To be in covenant with you.
You are my peace.
You are my peace.
You're my shalom. You're the God who blesses. And so I place my life under the showers of blessing that you prophesied through the prophet Ezekiel. And in my most difficult time, I believe you're going to give me a blessing no matter what the enemy's trying to do. So I say, Lord, open the spigot.
Open the spigot.
Let the blessing flow.
Let the blessing flow.
And let me be,
a person
that will see your blessings. Not just on me, but on my family, but on my generations, but on my friends, people I work with. You'll use me, Lord, to be your hand of blessing to a hurting world. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Would you do?
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.